many of y'all are ready to do something? Amen. Good to see you this morning. Look at your neighbor and say, glad you made it today. All right. Good to be at Life Church, isn't it? Wasn't worship awesome this morning? Amen. We're on our new series, Extra. You know that living for Jesus is living to do something beyond yourself. It's living to do something extra for someone. You know, we ought to always live a life where we're thinking, how can I do something to enlarge the kingdom of God? What can I do? And it doesn't have to be anything huge, just a little something, a little lanyap, a little something extra that's going to make a difference in the lives of other people. You know, I believe we can start a movement here in Life Church. I want to use this series as a catalyst. And you're going to find out, we're going to give directions. We got little cards for you because we're going to add feet to our faith. And when we do something extra, we're just going to give people a little card that says something extra just to show you that God loves you. Amen. It's got our information on the front, Life Church, and what the service times are. Y'all ready to make a difference in the community? You know, we're making a difference right now. We're making a difference worldwide. We have planted almost, we are part of ARC, which is planted, our goal is 2,000 churches by 2020. We've planted over 600 churches. Just this year, 200 churches will be planted because we give to an organization that's planting churches. Do you know that ARC is the number one church planting organization in the United States? Come on, and we're a part of that. Do you realize that most people are evangelized through church plants? Not through existing churches. So we are a part of something big. You ought to be excited about that. Amen? So we are here to do something extra and to do something to make a difference in our kingdom, in our world for the kingdom, right? So if you will, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read verses 40 through 48. And this is going to be our text message for all that we're doing through this series called Extra. Matthew chapter 5, verse 40 through 48. It says, this is Jesus talking. He says, if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect. I want to talk today about going an extra mile, doing something. You see, there's got to be something. I was in the business world for a long time, and I've carried this mentality over with me into my walk with the Lord. And even when I was in sports, I would ask myself a question. Is anybody doing what I'm doing right now? And the second question I would ask myself, I knew if I was the one doing something that no one else was doing, then I'd be more prepared to do when game time came. And then I would ask myself in the business world, what can I do to separate myself from every other salesman? What can I do? And I would come up with ideas like sending handwritten thank you cards or just going an extra mile. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter where you are. Listen to me. There is no such thing as sacred and secular. Everything we do is sacred because we're believers. And the way that we do it ought to demonstrate and exemplify that we are followers of Jesus Christ. Amen? So Jesus was saying here, listen, you're going to have to do something extra, something beyond what normal people normally do to separate yourself so that you could be called salt of the earth, so that you could be called the light of the world. You are that. God's created us to be that. And we're going to talk about four aspects to living beyond ourselves and living a life of extra. And this is the four parts of our series. Number one, today we're going to talk about a willing heart. Next week, we're going to talk about a watchful eye. The third week, we're going to talk about walking feet. And the fourth thing we're going to talk about is a waiter's attitude. The four things are going to separate us from every other person. Today, I want to talk about a willing heart. And I want to talk about, or I want to read Proverbs 4:23. It says this, above all else. Now, that's very interesting. Above all else. In other words, the first priority in your life, above all else, is to guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The King James Version says, for out of it flow the issues of life. So what I want us to understand is that if we're going to live an extra life, then we're going to have to live from our heart. And if we're going to live from our heart, we're going to have to watch over our heart. We're going to have to protect our heart. That word, guard your heart, doesn't mean that you wall off your heart so nothing gets in. It really means this. Look, in the Hebrew, the word for guard your heart is to watch over it with all diligence. Like a watchman watches over a city. How many know that in the military, if you fall asleep while you're on your watch, you can get court-martialed for it? So as a believer, we're to watch over our heart. We're to watch what we allow in our heart. So it means to recognize what you should let in and what you should keep out in the sense of a watchman. All right? Now, here's what I've learned about the enemy. The enemy wants us to have a heart condition. He wants something to happen to our heart where we mess up our flow. Now, isn't that something that Proverbs says, guard your heart because out of it flow the issues of life? Well, if something's flowing out of it, there's got to be something flowing into it. Right? So we've got to guard what flows into our heart, because what flows in is going to come out. Right? So the enemy wants to get us to a place where it affects the flow of our heart. And, you know, I've recognized several heart conditions. These are spiritual heart conditions that I've recognized that try to happen in my life, and I've even recognized it in some people's lives. And the first thing is, the devil wants us to get a hard heart. Hosea 10:12 says, sow righteousness for yourself, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed or hard ground. For it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. So here's the deal. A hard heart is when we let our hearts get hard and rocky, insensitive, and uncaring. It's when we let our heart get insensitive, rocky, and uncaring. How can I tell if I have a hard heart? Well, all you care about is you. So you got to guard against. These are some things you got to guard against, a hard heart. So I like what it says here in Hebrews 10:12. It says to break up your fallow. The fallow means hard. Hard means crusty. Have y'all ever tried to dig a post hole in Mississippi? You want to find out what hard ground is in the summer? Try to dig a post hole in Mississippi. That's a good idea of what fallow ground is, hard ground, right? So we've got to guard against that. I love this scripture. Tanya and I memorized this scripture 25 years ago when we first got married. In Ezekiel 36:26, the Lord said, I will give you a new heart and I'll put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. You see, what that means is God wants our heart to stay soft, pliable, teachable, and flowing. God takes away that old stony heart. We say, Pastor, I think I've got some stony ground in my heart. Well, just ask God to take it. You know, I find a lot of times that our hardness of heart probably is going to require some repentance on our part, where we've allowed some offenses or some things that were said or done in our life. That's how you take out the stony ground in your life, so you don't become insensitive. And I'm just going to tell you right now, if you live from your heart, sometimes your heart is going to get hurt. But you can't let it stay there. The longer you let an offense or something that happened to you linger in your heart, the more crusty your heart's going to become. And the more it's going to damage your flow. So let's make sure that we stay in a state of forgiveness. You know, forgiveness is not an action. It's more an attitude than it is an action. Think about that. You got to be willing to forgive at any point. We say, Pastor, they don't deserve it. Neither did you. We didn't either. So base all your forgiveness on how much God's forgiven you. So that's how you take care of a hard heart. Number two, the second type of heart condition that I found the enemy wants us to have is a heavy heart. Heavy heart. How many of y'all ever have a heavy heart? Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. When things don't happen the way you think they ought to happen, we can get heavy hearted. Or maybe someone that we love goes on to be with the Lord. You know, it brings a heaviness on us. A heavy heart. And that's always related to a spirit of heaviness or depression. When things happen to us or things don't turn out like we thought they ought to, and we begin to get heavy. You got to guard against the heavy heart. The third thing is a hurting heart, and that's a troubled heart. John 14:1, the Lord said, do not let your hearts be troubled. And we're talking about guarding our hearts. You believe in God, believe also in me. That word troubled means to lose our peace. It's a Greek word, terasso, which means to take away calmness of mind. A hurting heart is to be agitated or stirred up, and really it's represented by constant worry or anxiety about life. The more we focus on outward things, the more affected our inward heart becomes. The key to keeping your heart right is keep your eyes on Jesus. So a hurting heart, and then number four, a hindered heart, which is a blocked heart. A hindered heart is a heart that has no flow whatsoever. It's insensitive, it's unmoved, no compassion. A hindered heart. You know what I've learned? Religion is such a terrible thing because religion is the structure of things with no life in it. When you live out of religion, you know what you are? You become robotic. You go through the motions, but you have no real life. We as believers, if we're going to live a life of extra where we're looking after the needs of others, we're looking to make a difference, we've got to live from our heart. So we've got to live with a flow coming into our life. There's a book that John Osteen wrote probably 40 years ago called The Divine Flow. And there's something about us spending time with Jesus because that's how our heart remains healthy. You know, there's certain things that I found out about when I had my heart issue that I needed to do to keep a healthy heart. And you know what my main problem was that was with my heart was my intake. My intake caused a heart condition. It wasn't, hey, listen, I was exercising, I was doing cardio, I was doing all the things I was supposed to do, except my flow was hindered because of what I was taking in. You see, you can be going through all the religious motions, but if you don't have a relationship in the morning with the Lord where you're not taking in the healthiness of God, then you're going to have a heart condition. Because listen, going to church is good, but that's not the main thing. The main thing is living in a relationship with Jesus where I am taking in and taking on the character of Christ and the presence of Christ every morning, I've got an inflow of fresh grace, an inflow of fresh presence, an inflow. Guess what I'm doing? I'm giving health to my spirit man. And when I'm healthy, guess what? When health goes in, health comes out. When good things go in, good things come out. Come on, isn't that good? You know what? Why do we complicate our walk? It's so funny. I was thinking about that this morning, that really it's all about our relationships. Yet that cross is a representation. That middle, that vertical is our relationship to God. The horizontal is our relationship to men. And it's all about relationships. And you know what I thought about this morning? I even put a little post on Facebook that we always talk about go and make disciples. Yes. But you'll never make a disciple until you first make a friend. Hello? We get so caught up in well, we got to do this. Let's get caught up in seeking God, and out of that will flow right stuff. And then the basic, just stay basic with you with the Lord. Keep it simple. It's about my relating to Jesus so I can relate to others. Keeping my heart healthy. The devil wants your heart. Listen, the devil does not have to defeat you. All he's got to do is distract you. He wants to get your eyes on stuff, get your eyes on people, get your eyes on things. Can I just encourage you today, keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Come on, we got healthy hearts up in here. Guard your heart. Let's just read that again. For out of the heart flow the issues of life. Any of these conditions will hinder or block the flow of your heart. Guard means to watch over, recognize what you should let in and what you should keep out, in the sense as a watchman watches over a city. In other words, I've got to be diligent about my heart, because the heart is the main thing. Amen? Here's a good thing to write down. Basically, good things in, good things out. When I got good inflow, I'll have good outflow. If I ingest good things into my body, I'll keep my heart healthy. It's the same thing. I mean, when I had my little heart thing in it, you know what? It was a heart attack a month ago. Today, it's just a heart thing. Ain't nothing but a thing. Amen? Come on. I had nutritionists come in, and this lady was just telling me, you can have this and this and this. You can't do this, can't do that. I'm like, good Lord, what can I do? I haven't eaten any fried food, and I don't. You know what? But once you figure out what's good for you, I'm thinking about catfish right now. Catfish is the devil. Hallelujah. You know, there's a reason when you start doing good, you feel better. When you start an inflow in the spirit realm, you'll do better. When you just keep the main thing, and it's the Lord. I drink almond milk now. And I am heterosexual and drink almond milk. You'd have told me a month ago that I drink almond milk, I'd say, you crazy. You know that you realize that has nothing to do with the message. You know what we call that preaching? You call that running a rabbit. We're running a rabbit. I'm gonna give you four things to keep your heart fresh and tender. Are you ready? Four keys. Number one, commit your heart to God. Live from your heart. Every day, receive that divine flow. Commit your heart to God. You know what I found? I have an insensitive heart by nature. Katie, you have one of the most sensitive hearts I've ever seen. But God's working on you. I tell you the story about Katie. One time I was coming out of the... Let me give you an example of an insensitive heart. Katie, now, don't talk in church. I came out of my car, and this is back when I was a little heavier. And I was really sensitive about my weight. I got out of my car, and she said, "You look just like a butterball turkey." And I said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And it's funny, isn't it? But that's insensitive, isn't it? Commit your heart to God. Matthew 12, verse 30 through 31, Jesus said this: "Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these." Listen, my first priority is to love God, devote myself to God. As I love God, guess what the natural overflow of my heart is? To love somebody else. When you love God, because I am insensitive, we're all insensitive by nature, right? Because we're focused on our needs, what we want, what I think. But I tell you the key. The key is, pray to ask God every day. I ask, "Lord, give me a heart to love people like you love people. And give me eyes to see people like you see people." And you know, when you do that, that's called the supernatural flow of God. You'll begin to receive something in you that'll make you something you never thought you could be. And you'll begin to love people in a way you never thought you could love people before. And you know what happens when you love people and they know you love them? People are drawn to you. Because people are looking for love in our world today. And they're looking for all kind of ways to find it. But guess what? Can I just help you a little bit? You are the answer that people are looking for. Well, not just you. You've got inside of you the answer that people need. So commit your heart to God. Number two, live and love from your heart. You know what I found out about a heart? A loving heart is a living heart, and a loving heart is a seeing heart. When you're in love with the Lord and that flow's coming, you're picking up on people. You're picking up on where people are. You're seeing. You're concerned. You know when people just aren't right. A loving heart is always looking for a way to make a difference. A loving heart is always looking for a way to make a difference in a smile, in a gesture, in a prayer to express God's love for others. There's so many times when I'm in the gym because I am what I call living on the lookout. Jesus had to remind his disciples, look into the fields that are white to harvest. In other words, focus on people. Focus on the needs of others. There's so many times, almost not a day goes by, where I can pray with someone, minister to someone. But here's the deal. You got to be out there to see needs. And you're out there every day. We're out there every day. Just some of us are in our little Christian bubbles. We need to get out of that. God, there's ministry. Can I just write this down? There's ministry everywhere around you. But if you're not looking, you won't see it. Got to be looking. A loving heart is a seeing heart. So live from your heart and love from your heart. Don't be a withholder, be a giver. That means in whatever capacity that God can use you, whether it be your time, your talent, or your treasure, that's your money, reach into your pocket and feel your money right now. Get ready to give it away. Whatever it may be. Love capacity comes from God, and it's the only way we can truly love. The capacity to love comes from God. Everything else. Do you understand there's three types of love mentioned in the Bible? Do you know that? There's three Greek words for love in the Bible, and the first is phileo. It's where we get our word Philadelphia from, the city of brotherly love, right? Phileo is a buddy love. Hey, man, love you. Good to see you. Good to see you. Yeah, that's brotherly love. You push me down, man. So that's brotherly love. Guess what? The world's got that. Then there's Eros, which is a romantic type love. Eros, which is a romantic love when a boy and a girl falls in love. But then there's agape love. That's the real love. That's covenant love. That's a God type love. You know what that love, what's represented in that love? It's a sacrificial love. For God so loved the world that he gave. You see, that's agape love. You can't have agape love without serving and giving. There's an attachment to agape that all the other loves are looking to fulfill self. Agape love is looking to help someone else, to give to someone else, help someone else succeed. So live from your heart. Don't be a withholder. Be a giver. Number three, love from your heart. Man, guard your inflow and your outflow. Our first responsibility for the flow to come through our hearts is up first, out next. When we focus up and we receive from God, guess what? It's going to flow out to other people. Keep the flow fresh. James 3 says this, says, out of the mouth came praise and cursings. My brothers and sisters, that should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from above, come on, from heaven, is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. That's a great scripture, isn't it? On keeping your heart right. And then number four, give everything you can give to make a difference. In other words, give whatever you can, however you can, whenever you can, to be a difference. You know what? Loving and giving are synonymous. You can't be a lover and not be a giver. Isn't that the truth? Difference makers are always looking for ways to make a difference. Come on, how many of you know that when you wake up in the morning, I think sometimes we get caught up in the world's thinking. Well, today I'm going to make this much money, or today I'm going to sell this much stuff, or today I got to do this. Instead of that, let's wake up and say, today I am going to advance the kingdom of God. Today, God has given me a platform for the kingdom. Today, come on, you ought to wake up excited. Today, God has given me breath. Today, I'm going to take what God's given me, and I'm going to make a difference in the lives of others. Amen. Can I just tell you that you've only got a certain number of days on this earth? How can I make my days count? There's three things you can do with your life. You can spend it, you can waste it, or you can invest it. And the only way you can invest your life is in people. Looking for an opportunity. So you got to understand, instead of seeing what you do as who you are, your platform, see it as what you're doing as your platform for advancing the kingdom of God. See, everything you do is a ministry. I was listening to the radio yesterday about a man who does custom cars and how he uses that as a platform for the ministry of God. Don't let the American dream kill your kingdom dream. Let it be a platform for advancing the kingdom of God. Let the way you do business be something extra that people see and say, you know what? There's something about that guy, something about that lady. Let the way that you handle yourself and your money and your marriage, that the world would see, how do your light shine anyway? God gives us a platform. Man, you set some standards. We're doing that Model Man small group on Wednesday nights. It's really powerful about keeping the integrity as a man. And all men are welcome to come. We had 35 men here Wednesday. It's powerful. God's going to change this church by changing our men. But you see, everything that we do matters. There are no little insignificant things in your life. And God, we ought to live in such a way. Jesus said this, he said, or the Word of God says in John, that let your light therefore shine before men, that men might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I'll say this, one more quote, then we're going to close. I heard that man say, talking about his car business, he says, everything we do in life is either advancing or hindering the kingdom of God. Wow. That's the truth. So today, as you go out, Tanya, how are we handling that? How? Tell me now. Tanya, tell me now. Huh? What? Tell me. Okay, there are going to be people in the back that they're going to hand the cards out to you. Look, take at least two. But you got to promise. No, don't promise. But you got to make an effort to give these two, to do something. Now, you got to do something where God is going to be honored and you can give them a card and say, just want to let you know I love you. Doing this for the kingdom of God. A little something extra. Amen? Let's pray. How many of y'all would say, anybody in here, we're going to first ask, is there anyone here to say, Pastor, I have to make a decision to make Jesus Lord of my life. I've never done that. Do you know that Jesus came to earth, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross for your sins so that you could live for Him on the earth and then go to heaven when your time is done? Is there anybody who's never made that decision? Just raise your hand right now. All right, the second is this. How many of y'all are ready to say, I'm ready to be used by God this week? I'm ready to make a difference in my community, in my workplace, in my neighborhood. Come on, raise your hand right now. I'm going to look and pray for you. We're going to agree together. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for these hands raised, these willing hearts. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for great anointing and great grace to live as light and to live as salt. Lord, even as you were never put out when people ask you to go and to come, Lord, you would do it with no questions asked. Lord, I pray right now that this church would be marked as a church that goes the extra mile. For others. Lord, I release that over them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you today. So glad you came.